Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the great realignment. I reflect on 10 years post-RNC's autopsy report on how we are winning more Hispanic voters thanks to doing the opposite of what the Republican establishment told us. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Come to our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida, tpusa.com/SAS. Brought to you by Turning Point Action, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump. That's right, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis at one event, tpusa.com/SAS. We have Kayleigh McEnany, Greg Gutfeld, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, and more for a three-day celebration of freedom in Tampa, Florida, tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I remember being, I think it was the Union League Club in downtown Chicago. Might have been the Chicago Club. I'll look it up in a second. It was right after the 2012 election. Then chairman of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus, who I always got along with, was doing a series of meetings with donors and investors for the Republican Party, explaining and going through in great detail what was then called the RNC autopsy report. Now, you can find the RNC autopsy report. It got tons of media coverage and basically was renamed and rebranded the Growth and Opportunity Project. Essentially, the Republican Party and the Republican National Committee in 2013, early 2013, in February and March of 2013, they realized that they were not going to get support or investment from their donor base if they did not properly diagnose why they lost to Barack Obama in 2012. So I remember being in this massive room, big table in Chicago. It's where there used to be a lot of Republican donors in Chicago before they all fled to Florida. And all around the room, Reince Priebus would go through this presentation. And he went through piece by piece and point by point of all the different things that Republicans needed to do to win in the future. Now, mind you, he was just parroting what the establishment consultants thought was necessary to win voters. So that's 10 years ago. We are 10 years from this autopsy report, just about 10 years, about 9.5 years, from this autopsy report being published. Of why are Republicans losing so terribly? Why did Barack Obama win the White House in 2012? Now, reading this autopsy report issued by the Republican National Committee back in 2012, pairing it up with recent news as we're seeing today, it's extraordinary how wrong the Republican establishment was when it came to what we needed to do to try to win the voters that they thought necessary for victory. So some of the stuff was pretty normal. For example, Republicans need a campaign among Hispanic, Black, and Asian, and gay Americans and demonstrate we care about them too. We need a campaign with Hispanics with issues they care about. Now, this is what's so amazing. The Growth and Opportunity Project, the RNC, this is back in 2012, said, quote, if Hispanic Americans perceive that a Republican nominee or candidate does not want them in the United States, i.e. self-deportation, they will not pay attention to our next sentence. In the last election, Governor Romney, that was back when he's a governor, not a senator, received just 27% of the Hispanic vote, the Republican establishment wrote back in 2012. We've chased the Hispanic voter out of his natural home. We're not a policy committee, but among the steps Republicans can take in the Hispanic community and beyond, we must embrace and champion comprehensive immigration reform. This is the Republicans' message back in 2012. Now, you want to know why I am such a critic, why I am such a, let's say, outspoken opponent to the Republican establishment? Because they lie to you. They want cheap labor for their mass resorts or their major development construction projects. They want cheap labor to be able to bring down American wages. It's not about comprehensive immigration reform to win over Hispanics. It's about bottom line profits. So in 2012, the RNC was going around donor after donor after donor. And I sat in one of those rooms very early on. We had no staff at Turning Point USA. I was with Bill Montgomery, may he rest in peace, and some other friends in Chicago. We just kind of sat and listened to it. All about how we need to move to the middle. We need to be amnesty defenders as Republicans. That the only way we are going to win over Hispanics is if we get to the amnesty issue before Democrats. It's in the autopsy document 10 years ago. Now, you might be asking, Charlie, why do I care about what was written 10 years ago? It's actually incredibly important. It's profound because they haven't changed. Many Republicans are still saying this, but 10 years later, everything they told us to do was wrong. Everything the Republican establishment told us to do was a lie, and the numbers are showing it. It goes on and on and on. In essence, Hispanic voters tell us the party position on immigration has become a litmus test, whether we are meeting with them with a welcome mat or a closed door. Throughout our discussions with various Hispanic groups, they told us this, quote, message matters. Too often Republican elected officials spoke about issues important to the Hispanic community using a tone that undermined the GOP brand with Hispanics. Now, mind you, this was during a time when we were convinced that we have to be socially liberal and fiscally conservative. That's Romney. Who cares if you want to chemically castrate your kids? We'll be agnostic on abortion. We'll be agnostic on marriage. We're going to be open border on immigration. Here's an amazing newsflash for the Republican establishment. Hispanics are fiscally or economically moderate, if not a little to the left. They don't mind getting social benefits, many of them from the government. But they're hawks on the rule of law. They're hawks on immigration. They're hawks on marriage, on their children, on education, and abortion. They're more conservative than the white metropolitan liberal that wrote this RNC report back in 2012. Now, we're going to keep on going through this RNC report because we're going to contrast it with what the news is today. 10 years later, the Republican Party is stronger on immigration thanks to Donald Trump and people like Josh Hawley and people that are phenomenal on the issue of immigration. Tom Cotton deserves a lot of credit for it. We are more outspoken about deportations, about building the wall, about limiting legal and illegal immigration. We are more socially conservative. We have reversed Roe versus Wade. What do you think the RNC autopsy report would issue on a reversal of Roe versus Wade? If we would have followed this RNC autopsy report back in 2012, we would be obliterated into a minority. Instead, in 2018, Democrats held a 47-point edge with Hispanics. As of today, that's 47 points 4 years ago. Today, Democrats are statistically tied with Republicans among Hispanics on the generic congressional ballot. A 47-point realignment. Now, the moderate Republicans will try to tell you, well, Charlie, it's because of gas prices and inflation. All of that is true, but it's incomplete. The real reason why Hispanics are gravitating towards Republicans is because of the transgender issue, the assault on gender norms, on Roe versus Wade, the closure of small businesses because of COVID, social liberalism seeping into child textbooks and TikTok. They're looking to the only political party as a life raft from the drowning tsunami of social liberalism. You go after a Hispanic family's kids, they'll vote for anybody. Not to mention the issue of immigration is a winner in the Hispanic community, regardless of what the Republican establishment is telling you. 47-point alignment, realignment, happening in 4 years in front of your eyes. This is profound, everybody. For a couple years now, people have been setting up a contest between crypto and gold, but that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since Ukraine, the oil, and the inflation crisis, it's done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, who isn't? Just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metal IRAs for your retirement. They'll put you straight on your options and hold your hand through the whole setup process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. So call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Axios reports, shifts in the demographics of the two-party supporters taking place before our eyes are arguably the biggest political story of our time. The big picture, Republicans are becoming more working class, or as we call it, the muscular class, and more multiracial. Democrats are becoming more elite and a little more white. Democrats' hope for retaining power rests on non-white voters remaining a reliable part of the party's coalition. Democrats' theory of the case collapses if Republicans make even incremental gains with those voters. Quote, even small inroads with Hispanic voters could tip a number of Democrat-held swing seats to the Republican Party. It certainly can here in Arizona. If we're able to do that against the snake Mark Kelly. Democrats are statistically tied with Republicans among Hispanics on the generic congressional ballot. Democrats again held a 47-point lead with Hispanics during the 2018 midterms. Why is this happening? Democrat strategists say the party's biggest vulnerability is assuming the priorities of progressive activists are the same of those of working class voters. Quote, progressive activists led to push the cut of police budgets. Communities of color have borne the brunt of higher crime. Yeah, no kidding. They can't afford armed guards. They can't afford bulletproof SUVs. They're not flying private. They don't live in gated communities. They actually have to live through the misery created by J.B. Pritzker or Gavin Newsom. Or AOC, or Lori Lightfoot, or Eric Adams, who's been a disaster as a mayor, by the way, of New York City. What a letdown. Hispanics living on the U.S.-Mexico border are more likely to favor tougher border security measures that Republicans have championed. Axios continues to write, and the reality of growing inflation and worries of recession, you see why Democrats are losing ground with a core part of their coalition. I'm telling you, if we're able to pull this off, a 10, 15, 20, we've already had a 47-point swing with Hispanics, we can execute a metaphorical political extinction event of the Democrat Party. And that is exactly what is necessary. Play cut 229.
Well, Democrats are now the party of educated elites. That was on budget. Somehow we missed the graphic, rather than the working class whites and America's largest minority group. Mostly, well, the educated elites can afford to be Democrats now. Those are the issues they care about. This is from Axios. We're seeing a political realignment in real time. Josh Krasher, one of the smartest observers I know, writing this. Democrats are becoming the party of upscale voters, concerned more about issues like gun control and abortion rights. Republicans are quietly building a multiracial coalition of working class voters with inflation as an accelerant.
You better believe we're doing that. Suburban districts will make up the majority of congressional battlegrounds. Republican candidates, this is what Axios says, are going to gain in Hispanic areas, but we're not sure how we're going to do in suburban areas. Axios writes, Republican candidates holding extreme views on abortion or echoing Trump's election lies are still toxic in the suburbs. Since the Supreme Court's abortion ruling, Democrats have made small gains in national polls. The bottom line, the Republican Party is trading soccer moms for Walmart dads. And you then read this autopsy report. It says one thing after the other, that 10 years ago, we were losing so terribly with Hispanics that they thought the only way that we could go about fixing it is getting to the middle and brokering a mass amnesty deal. The Republican Party, the Republican establishment, the elites in the Republican Party have always told you that you need a compromise on your values to win over more voters. But it's the exact opposite. You see, it's actually, there's a massive pool of voters that are finally interested in the Republican Party because we're actually finally unafraid to talk about our values openly and rationally and reasonably. Republican Party in 2012, the official policy document, quote, among the steps Republicans need to take in the Hispanic community and beyond are that we must embrace and champion comprehensive immigration reform. A 47-point move is not because of this report that was issued by the RNC. This 47-point move is thanks to us being principled on these issues and also the destruction of white, woke, imperial liberalism coming into these communities. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The recent rulings from the Supreme Court, they didn't happen on their own. It took support of companies like Patriot Mobile, who passionately fought on behalf of the unborn and your constitutional rights. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative mobile phone provider and has been on the front lines fighting for your values. Inflation has really made it hard on Americans. Thankfully, Patriot Mobile has plans for almost any budget. They offer the same nationwide coverage as all the major carriers. You get the same service, and your money is going to a company fighting for the sanctity of life, religious liberty, and the Second Amendment. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. If you're a veteran or first responder, please let them know because they have special discounts just for you. Join our movement and make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. This is very important because Republicans, when they get into power, especially in Washington, D.C., they're going to try to convince you that we need to have this mass amnesty deal, that we need to try to make it as if our immigration laws are completely and totally invalidated. A 47-point edge with Hispanics has been completely evaporated. That does not happen easily in politics at all. And yes, of course, the Democrats' inability to govern plays into all of this. Their buffoonery and just how weird they have become, and honestly, how creepy they've become. And I could go to one cultural story after the other and one political story after the other that shows a massive disconnect. And what's so interesting is how white liberals are unwilling to adjust or compromise. Now, it reminds me of a certain attitude. And when you're trying to build a political movement, it's a really dangerous and risky attitude. So I have religious views. I'm a Christian. I know other people have different religious views. Now, you might be uncompromising in your theology. That's fine. I certainly am on what I consider to be very important things with theological views or matters. The left is uncompromising in the theology of their politics. As James Lindsay would call it, the theology of Marxism. They are uncompromising in their perspective on what they think third world entrants into America should believe and not believe. The most important divide in America is now between white secular liberals that are disproportionately depressed, anxious, medicated, working in corporate jobs, and living in urban cities against working class voters that are of all different colors and backgrounds And Hispanics in particular, Hispanics gravitate towards cities for many different reasons. Many of them also come into, obviously, suburbs as well. But someone that is first generation from Honduras or Nicaragua does not want to be preached to by a white liberal about how men can become pregnant. We played that tape with Josh Hawley and the professor from Berkeley multiple times. That right there is a failed political communication strategy. You have to wonder, why are they not going about adapting or changing it? Now, we went through a whole episode last week on that very topic, but more importantly, I think it's because they don't care. You see, embedded within a legitimate believer in liberalism and Bolshevik leftism is self-righteousness. They think they're so right that men can become pregnant, that 8-year-old girls need to be hypersexualized, that white kids need to be taught that they're terrible, awful, and racist, that if anyone opposes them, they're not just wrong, they're a bad person, and no one will get in the way of their revolutionary crusade. You want to see why Hispanics are now, it's a 47-point swing? Let's just play this tape again. It's worthy of this. Listen carefully to Josh Hawley, who articulates a belief system that is embedded into normal Hispanic culture, and you have this black professor from Berkeley who is smugly, arrogantly, and aggressively criticizing Josh Hawley. And I'm bringing up this tape because there was a reaction to this video where liberal blogs and the media were praising this professor as a hero for acting the way she did, as platforming her as a celebrity for saying that men can become pregnant. And she said this at a U.S. Senate hearing. Play cut 35.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing them.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important
because of my line of questioning.
Because
we can't talk about it.
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying
dangerous.
That trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women having pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think men can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist.
Thank and that leads to violence. Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
they're
told that they're opening up people to violence.
And it's amazing how the media covered it, one after the other. Josh Hawley accused of transphobia, according to the Berkeley. Jezebel, Berkeley law professor, eviscerates Josh Hawley. So you listen to that? You think that Josh Hawley got eviscerated? It just goes to show two different realities that we're living in. I mean, just an objective analysis. This professor, Kyra Bridges, is a total fool. She should be nowhere near children. She'd be nowhere near teaching a college course. The way you act like that, do you think men can become pregnant? Well, you're transphobic. This article, one after the other, where they say Josh Hawley schooled by Berkeley law professor. The left thought that she did wonderful. They think that is how you act. Left-wing outlets insisting that Josh Hawley was taken to school. You want to see why Hispanics are going in record numbers to the Republican Party? They watch that and they say, wait a second. There are some things that shouldn't change. You see, change is such an attractive element to progressivism because the status quo is boring. This is why I believe that so many young people gravitate towards progressive movements because they've never been taught the beauty or the virtue of living a traditional lifestyle. They're so used to being able to see a new stimulant on their screen or a new substance to put in their body that they're always looking for the next big thing. And look, young people tend to be more progressive that way because it's very tempting to want to believe that whatever came before you is awful and bigoted and all that. It's very tempting to believe that you have all the answers, like this Professor Kyra Bridges, who's literally trying to overturn thousands and thousands of years of family history. It's part of our design. It's part of nature. And so part of one of the reasons why liberals are not adjusting, and they don't care if they've lost 47 points with Hispanics, is deep down, their revolution must be pure. And this is interesting because the smarter people in the Democrat Party are very afraid of those people. The smarter people in the Democrat Party are willing to run kind of fake Democrats like Mark Kelly and many others for the Senate in Arizona to try to pretend they're more moderate than they really are. This realignment is the most important, most promising political story that we're living through right now. Democrats are tied with Republicans among Hispanics on the generic congressional ballot. And we still have Republicans like Tom Tillis and others that are saying, well, we need to now have comprehensive immigration reform. You realize they don't want that? You realize Hispanics would much rather have the southern border secured than tens of billions of dollars being spent in some proxy war in Ukraine. Hispanics would much rather have a Republican Party that says something and then does something about this hyper-sexualized curriculum in our schools. You see, so many people in politics believe that in order to win elections, you must gravitate towards moderates and you must water down your position. Donald Trump changed all of that. Make no mistake, this legacy that we're seeing now of the explosion of support with Hispanics is thanks to the very person that we were told is going to turn off Hispanics. Willard Romney, Mitt Romney, won 27% of the Hispanic vote. Donald Trump did much better than that. We can get the final numbers. We are now seeing the Hispanic community as a 50-50 tie. It's right in the middle. Now, if we're serious about winning that Hispanic community long-term, we must reject Republican moderate social liberalism. And guess what? You might offend some suburban soccer moms that wear two masks all day long and live in a spirit of fear and went to Yale or went to Rutgers or wherever. But I would much rather lose suburban soccer moms that are afraid of their own shadow, that are actually deeply miserable inside, some of them, if they're voting Democrat, far left wing, in a far left wing fashion. And I would much rather gain Hispanics, of which, according to their own demographics, are going to be a majority voting bloc. Hispanics care about family. As we talk about the parents' party, sure, suburban soccer moms, you're welcome to join. Fine. But the more college educated they are, the more likely they are to be left-wing voters. But Hispanics, they don't have a beach home in Malibu, many of them. I mean, generally, I'm saying they're not living the upper-middle-class white lifestyle. They're saving every penny. They're seeing that dollar and that penny be diminished and deteriorated. And the thing that they have the most investment in, the thing that they have their future in, their children, is under a pathological attack by white liberals. If Republicans are serious about winning the future, they must promise to Hispanic voters that they are going to protect their children against the imperial colonial conquest of white liberal academics. Jeff emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm praying for a day that there is a Charlie Kirk in Espanol. It would be the end of Hispanic Dems. We got to work on that. Another one. Hi, Charlie. I work in fast food with a lot of Hispanics. They come to me often with all sorts of questions of all kinds. These days, they're listening to me speak about politics. The Hispanics I work with do not want open borders. They see the communism trend and they know what it means. The government in Mexico is very corrupt. We don't think they get it. Of course they get it. They don't like it either. They are quite conservative. They just don't realize it for some reason. I'm guessing they believe the lies like many of us. They're waking up, though. Let me tell you, Democrats in general are running from that party. The Uniparty will have to use force because we will see them and not comply. God bless America. God bless those fighting to keep her free. Much love from rural, red, northern California. Now, one of the ways that Democrats are going to try to fix this problem is through trying to find a different candidate. They think, it's because of Joe Biden. But let me first play this tape here, cut 223. The more Democrats talk about an energy transition, Hispanics are saying, yeah, no thanks. Play cut 223.
So it's about making a choice between what is the short term and the medium term so that we can make sure we have enough oil and gas to support us through the transition. And what are the kind of steps that we don't want the oil and gas industry to take that would have long-term consequences when we don't want new major projects that would take 20, 30 years to become profitable. So we have to make that differentiation to make sure that the American consumer has what it needs to grow, grow our economy and the global economy, but not take steps and endanger the climate work that we're trying to do to make sure that we're on a better footing to accelerate the transition.
This guy's one of the more dangerous types of people. He's hyper-educated, lifelong bureaucrat, saying that we need to have an energy transition. Amos Hochstein worked in U.S. Congress, testified for a congressional panel, served in the Barack Obama administration under Clinton and Kerry, was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State in 2011, and Assistant Secretary of State for Energy Resources. While at the State Department, he's now worked as a close advisor to Joe Biden, all about energy. And he says, look, it's a transition. What exactly is that transition? Putting millions of people out of work? Why is the Biden regime not clear about how they want to abolish our energy superiority? It's part of the agenda. They look at themselves as philosopher kings, as Plato would write, in the clouds, masterminding how they want the energy consumption in America to go because they believe in this pagan climate cult of this false narrative brought forth by people like Greta Thunberg and Al Gore that have been wrong about basically everything. Guess what? Hispanics, they're just not really into this idea of the world is going to end tomorrow because of the climate. They'd rather be able to pay for gas and not have their children be taught that men and women are simple constructs. Now, one of the ways they're going to try to go about fixing this is trying to have a new leader of the Democrat Party. And I'd love your thoughts. I'd love your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you think Michelle Obama is going to run? And do you think that she might be a serious threat to some of the progress that we have been making with Hispanics? freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to hear from you. I'm curious. Because I think that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama especially, he did a lot better with Hispanic voters than Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. And what we see here is a Democrat Party increasingly embracing smug white liberalism. There's a story here regarding Myra Flores, who's phenomenal, who's a great threat to the left, by the way. She speaks fluent Spanish, and she's more conservative than most Republicans, let me tell you what. She speaks openly about life, the transgender stuff, on the southern border. NBC News, Democrat Representative Vicente Gonzalez is distancing himself from a blogger he paid who's using bigoted language to describe GOP opponent Representative Myra Flores. A Texas blogger paid by Representative Vicente Gonzalez's campaign is attacking Republican opponent Representative Myra Flores as, quote, Miss Frijoles, a, quote, cotton-picking liar, prompting a wave of denunciations by fellow Democrats. The language first surfaced 3 days after the Gonzalez campaign wrote a $1,200 check to the McHale Report blog June 24th for, quote, advertising services, according to the Democrats' Federal Election Finance Report. So Democrats, the way that they're trying to respond to the wave of Hispanics is let's go pay bloggers to call them cotton-picking liars. The first ever Mexican-born congresswoman. Or as Jill Biden would say, si se puede, you're all a bunch of tacos. It's going to be fun to see an entire political party that is basically populated and dominated by white elite liberals try to reconstitute themselves and to adjust as they get slammed at the ballot box. Now, we do have to fix our elections. It is a major issue. I'm going to keep an eye on it. I know you will as well. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.